When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs.
That can be a lot of money, but are your bills even accurate?
It's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors.
HealthLock can help. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud.
You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills.
To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. To save, visit HealthLock.com today. That's HealthLock.com.
I know you're paying attention to global events as well as what's going on in our nation. War and increased conflict is bubbling up in more places. Countries are buying and hoarding massive amounts of gold. Why aren't you? It's time to pull the trigger with the Oxford Gold Group and buy gold and silver. Nobody can predict the future, but we can't put our head in the sand either. Call Oxford Gold Group right now, and you may qualify for up to $10,000 in free precious metals. Call 833-995-GOLD. That's 833-995-GOLD, 833-995-G-O-L-D.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. I am right now luxuriating because I'm feeling a little bit of a drag. I don't know how many of you during the course of the day, you're super busy, might need a little pick-me-up, a little pep in your step. I am drinking Crockett Coffee, which I'm told is owned by two amazing patriots,
true,
that you may have heard of.
Yeah.
That you listen to every single day, CrockettCoffee.com. It is truly incredible. We had a call yesterday. We're going to be adding more flavors, more product that all of you out there can dive into. I think you're going to love it. If you love America, and if you just want a moment in the course of the day, you know what they say, Buck? Gratitude is the most powerful of all emotions. You heard that?
I have not, but I like it.
Makes sense, honestly. If you sit and think a little bit about what you're grateful for, maybe before the chaos of your day starts, maybe in the middle of the chaos of your day, you can sit there with a coffee and just think, okay, yes, there's chaos in the world, and we talk about it every single day. Yes, there is rampant insanity. But odds are that there are many, many things that all of us have tremendously to be grateful for, starting with the fact that we're fortunate enough to live in the United States of America, which only, what, 300 million roughly of 7 billion people, 8 billion people on the planet, and that our history is amazing and that we are the greatest force for good that has ever existed. If you believe that, you should be grateful for it, grateful for the legacy of this country, and you can think about it a little bit while you have your Crockett Coffee. Now, CrockettCoffee.com, go check it out. We want to go over 100K in sales this week, which is pretty incredible because of you guys.
Can I just say, I think it's so important because I'm somebody who's been drinking coffee for years. Yes, our coffee is delicious. Yes, it celebrates America. Get a bunch of it and you'll get free shipping. Meaning, if you spend over $60, because I know some people are like, hold on, the shipping costs. The coffee is good for months and months and months, like over a year. I know people want fresh coffee. This coffee is incredibly fresh. Get over $60 worth. When you try it, you'll get the free shipping. And even better, subscribe. And that's a way that this becomes an even better proposition for you. So I would just say, you know, if you can, if you're a big coffee drinker like I am, you know, get a few packages of it. Get some K-cups and some ground beans or whole beans. And then you get free shipping over $60. So get a good chunk of it. Don't just get one bag, right? Get a good chunk of it, and you're going to be very happy you did. That's what I do. I actually just got my shipment today, CrockettCoffee.com. Maybe there are going to be some T-shirts happening soon too, Clay. It's exciting.
Yeah, it's going to be great. So CrockettCoffee.com, send us over 100K. It's unbelievable. Honestly, the response that you guys have had, we haven't done anything other than talk about it on this show. And by the way, iHeart's a partner, so you know. It's like, oh, what are you guys doing? No, iHeart's a partner as well. And we appreciate the fact that they are a partner with us on this. But it's the show. It's you guys are about to have done, in the space of a week, $100,000 in purchase of this coffee, which is truly, I'm told, unheard of.
And we have a partnership with Tunnel to Towers, which is which is an organization that we honestly love and want to do everything we can to support every way we can. So Tunnel to Towers is a part of this whole package, if you will, as well.
In the years ahead, we hope to be able to give them, I'm not even kidding about this, millions of dollars in things to help make the world a better in charitable donations as a part of what we're trying to give back here. So I don't know about you, Buck, but even in my email inbox, which some of you have, people are blowing up reacting to the sentencing of these two parents. Tons of different opinions out there.
I was
going to
say, does everyone agree with you that they should just lock them up and throw away the key?
I'm just going to read a couple of representative samples. And this is a good question from Philip. How does the prosecution avoid issues of proximate cause, foreseeability, and actual cause when the case is appealed? Would a charge of negligent entrustment be more appropriate if the parents purchased the firearm then gave it to the student? These are real. I love you guys. Because when I read an email and I'm like, oh, this is a really smart, again, that's from Philip. Appreciate that. Bill writes in, Clay, so when are they going to hold parents of kids in Chicago, New York, or other areas where teenagers are killing each other responsible? It's not politically expedient for the left, but they go after parents of these kids in a targeted way to send a message to the gun community. My two cents, that is from Bill. Bill's asking questions that I think are very good. So is Philip. My thought in general, and I'm saying this as a parent, and I know that many of you are parents and grandparents out there. Some of you may have custodial control, responsibility for kids that are not yours. My kids are 16, 13, and 9. If a kid in my household got access to a gun and was a violent perpetrator of a crime, I think that me and my wife should be held responsible for it. Partly. Not as first or second degree murder or anything else like that. Depends on the state statute. I am a big believer that if your kid engages in violent behavior as a teenager, and I'm not talking about getting in a fist fight, over a girl at a dance, right? I'm talking about goes in with a gun and in cold blood engages in acts of violence. I think parents should be held responsible. And I think that's whether you're talking about an inner city kid in Chicago or a rural kid in Nebraska. If you're a parent and your kid gets access to a gun that you had, right? I think it's more challenging when it's Buck. The way that I would work through it in my head is if a kid gets access and becomes and engages in criminal acts outside of the house, I think it's hard to argue, for instance, if your kid carjacks and you didn't necessarily have any advanced knowledge that they had access to a weapon, things like that. I think when they use one of your weapons to commit a crime and there's ample evidence that you knew that they were engaging in behavior potentially that was criminal and you are basically negligent as a parent, I don't have any issue at all with holding parents responsible. Now, I'm also simultaneously, the question that you raised is I think a really good one. Somewhere there's a line, and do you worry when you give prosecutors too much power that they're going to cross that line? Yes, I do simultaneously. So I think I can, I kind of am having it both ways here because I want parents responsible, but I also want prosecutors to be reasonable.
It reminds me a little bit of the central argument for Obamacare, which was when you boiled it all down, it turned into Obamacare's demand that you buy insurance or pay a fine, which they got around this, of course, as we know, through the sophistry of saying it's a tax, but it's obviously a fine.
Thanks to Justice John Roberts.
Thanks to John Roberts, who's one of the worst choices that the Republicans have made for the Supreme Court in a very long time. Anyway, although I think, wasn't Souter a Reagan pick? Am I right on that one, or was it H.W. Bush? I think, wasn't David Souter a Reagan
there was
pick?
There was a long history of Republican Supreme Court appointees that ended up being super
picking
left.
Communists, yeah. Just terrible stuff. Anyway, but regulating inactivity was central to that whole thing. It's that you can't just be, you have to do this thing that we say you have to do. And people said, well, can you pass a law that says you have to buy a rifle? Can you pass a law that you have to have a Bible in your home? Like, what other, you know, activity can you regulate. And to me, this starts to feel like failure to intervene becomes a criminal act. The only part of it where I could see it is if you have a firearm in the home. I have firearms in the home, for example, right? We don't have any little kids running around here, but if you have a firearm in the home and, you know, a 5-year-old gets a hold of a loaded gun and, you know, something terrible happens, tragedy happens. Was George H.W. Bush nominated Souter. Okay, yeah, I had a feeling, which did not work out well for us. Anyway, if you have a tragedy that happens because a child gets a hold of a firearm in the home, people can be held responsible for that, right? If you leave a child, and this horrible case happened recently, this woman went on vacation for 10 days and a baby starved to death, like, clearly you have some obligation as a parent to do some things. You can't let a baby starve, and you can't let a toddler get a hold of your handgun. Locking up the weapon, I can see as a, but you know, now it's one thing when you're saying lock it up when you're dealing with a 10-year-old or a 5-year-old, but 16 or 17-year-old, I mean, maybe they figure out where you keep it and how to get into it, right? I mean,
they're smart enough to be able to break it.
Exactly. And I start to feel like, you know, where is this line? And there's a, you know, there's a big difference, I think, between, understanding that parents fail as people fail in things and thinking that they should go to prison for 10 to 15 years, right? I mean, their lives are effectively already ruined in the sense that their child is going to prison forever and he's a mass shooter and killed all these people. I mean, there's a punishment that these parents have just by existing. To lock them up for 10 or 15 years, the message it sends is, if your child is an evil little malcontent with severe psychiatric issues and you don't do enough, you're going to go to prison too? This is a little bit like how I feel about the death penalty, by the way, one of the rare issues where I feel like I can be persuaded either way, depending on the argument in the moment. I can see this. I see both sides of this one. It makes me uncomfortable.
I totally get it, because again, my position is I want parents more responsible for what their kids do.
Didn't Seinfeld end? I know this is like a far less serious thing, but because didn't they fail to like do something? I forget what, right? Didn't they go to jail at the last episode of Seinfeld because they didn't act as
I don't
good
remember
Samaritan?
The exact, yes, but that.
They didn't act as good Samaritan. Very weird way to end the whole thing.
Yes.
But, you know, this does remind me a little bit of the arguments you'd have in ethics class in college. Like, if you're an Olympic swimmer and you're on the beach and you see somebody who's clearly drowning and they're not in very deep water and the surf is calm, should you go to prison? Because you didn't do anything?
You know, yeah, usually.
If you're a lifeguard, you should, but if you're just an average person, you know, it gets complicated. Well, what if the person starts punching you in the face when you try to pull them up out of the water? What if they panic? You know, you get into these things.
You guys are smart. I'm curious to hear what y'all think out there. 800-282-2882. And again, I would say my position is reliant on both parents, being responsible, but also prosecutors being responsible. And I think in this particular case, Buck, it was the kid went to the school. And again, team, you can correct me on this. The kid went to the school with a backpack that had a gun in it. They had a meeting in the principal's office about the fact that the kid had been threatening in some way to shoot up the school. Somehow they didn't search the backpack, recognize that he had that weapon. They then made him leave school. And again, the facts here, I think, matter. And then the parents, like, just basically said, whatever. The kid then, I believe, went back to school and shot up the school. So it was a failure that is particularly unique, where they legitimately had a meeting with the principal where the principal was like, hey, your kid is talking about shooting up the school. They didn't know that he had the gun. They didn't search to see if he had the gun. And then I believe he went back to the school and shot it up. Again, I want to make sure we get those facts correct. And it's been a while since I read about this case, but it is a very unique fact pattern in terms of parental knowledge about the likelihood that this kid may well engage in a school
what
shooting.
What happened to the cop who didn't do anything at the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas shooting at Parkland? Didn't they charge him, but then was it overturned?
The jury, I think, did not convict him.
Or they didn't convict him?
I think, again, we need to look that up too, but I believe they basically charged the cop with cowardice for refusing yes. to confront the dereliction of duty, whatever the exact phrase was, because he hid, is my recollection, and did not confront the school shooter. They then charged him with a crime, but I believe the jury considered the facts and let him off. We'll get both of those full fact patterns because, again, these are very fact-specific cases. While you may talk about them in generalities, when you actually think about it, if you were sitting on the jury and you heard this evidence, I think it's, again, kind of beyond the pale in terms of that particular school shooting. But we'll give you those details. And I want to take your calls because a lot of you want to react as well. And it was in fact true, just as we go to, well, we're going to hit a break here, but I'll read you those details. There was a gun in a backpack. They didn't search it in that awful Oxford school shooting where now the parents have been held, responsible as well. Those are, important details here that I think need to be fleshed out a bit. But I want to tell you, your IRS tax return due next Monday. I know right here at the Travis household, we're trying to get all our papers together. You're probably trying to do that too. Don't be fooled by scammers. If someone calls, texts, or emails you pretending to be from the IRS, don't fall from it. Don't fall for it. They're trying to scam you. IRS contacts you, believe it or not, I know because I'm being audited, through the mail, actually written letters that let you know what's going on. Cyber criminals will pose as IRS employees. They try to get on the phone with you. They try to trick you. It's important to understand how all this works and also how to protect yourself in the event that you end up targeted. That's what LifeLock does. Their 24-hour, 7 days a week system's the best in the business at detecting illegal activity and making you aware immediately. You decide if there's a problem or not when they notify you, and you can join today and make sure that you are protected. I've benefited from their protection, so has Buck. 25% off your first year with my name Clay as your promo code. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK, go online to lifelock.com, use that promo code Clay for 25% off. That's lifelock.com, promo code Clay.
Keeping it real, keeping it honest. Clay Travis and Buck Sexton.
Why are people still on the fence about owning gold and silver? I just don't understand.
Have we already forgotten about regional bank closures, inflation, global instability, and the potential for serious world conflicts?
You can look to precious metals for various reasons. One, having tangible currency on hand as part of your bug out plan. Two, diversifying your portfolio as a hedge against inflation. And three, historically, gold increases in value over time.
You keep yourself informed about global events. You see the increase in conflicts around the globe. Countries are buying and hoarding massive amounts of gold. Why aren't you? It's time to pull the trigger with the Oxford Gold Group and buy gold and silver. Nobody can predict the future, but we can't put our head in the sand either.
The people with Oxford Gold Group are real pros. They make owning gold and silver simple and easy to understand. Call Oxford Gold Group right now, and you may qualify for up to $10,000 in free precious metals.
Call 833-995-GOLD. That's 833-995-GOLD. One more time, 833-995-GOLD. The number one fantasy sports app in America is Prize Picks. It's the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. 5 million members already active on Prize Picks. If you've not yet downloaded Prize Picks, do it today. Unlike other apps, on Prize Picks, it's just you against the number. It's about the players and not the teams. You look for the sports you know best and that you follow the most. Then you make a single decision on each player projection, more or less. Every time you play, you pick 2 to 6 players and make that one decision. You can win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 picks. More player action on Prize Picks now than ever, and it's the best way to get action on sports in more than 30 states now. Prize Picks also gives you injury insurance, so your picks stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. Download the free Prize Picks app and open your account. Use my name, Clay, for a first deposit match up to $100. Download the Prize Picks app. Use promo code Clay, that's C-L-A-Y, to get set up and get a deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
If babies in their mother's womb could speak, what would they say? In the absence of words, they share the sounds of their heart beating, telling you they're alive and growing. An unborn baby's heart is already beating at just 3 weeks. By 5 weeks, you can hear that heartbeat on ultrasound, and that's where Preborn's network of clinics step in. Preborn is the country's largest provider of free ultrasounds, and every day they rescue 200 babies' lives by connecting expectant mothers and children. Those are pregnant mothers deciding on life or abortion. Most often they choose life. For just $28, you can provide one free ultrasound to help save a child's life. $140 will help rescue 5 babies' lives. Donate via cell phone, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Visit preborn.com/buck. That's preborn.com/BUCK. Preborn has a 100% charity rating. Sponsored by Preborn.
Lines lit up on this topic of the sentencing of the parents of the Michigan school shooter today. We'll get some of your calls now. More on the back half of this hour. Matt in Maryland. Matt, what have you got for us?
Hi, guys. I think that this is just a way for smaller judges in smaller districts to start pushing an agenda of gun control, but it not going through the government. Because we've seen circuit courts recently even start giving more rights to gun owners. And I think it's just a way to have a collective enforcement using the family as the conduit to pull guns away from people. And I just feel that that's, you know, to not, they're saying the Second Amendment isn't going to be touched, but they're using the family to try enforcing something as opposed to going through the government, because we've seen the pendulum swing back to the right a little bit with some of these gun cases.
I get that argument, and we'll take some more of your calls. My thing is, if you're going to argue that gun ownership means gun responsibility, if your teenager gets your gun and shoots up a school, you know, if your teenager, for instance, gets your car and is drunk and drives it and hits somebody, and you knew that he was drunk and you let him get behind the wheel, the parent would likely be charged, right? Parents get charged all the time for parties where people are drinking and they know that they're drinking at the party and they allow it to occur anyway. So there is parental responsibility built in. Take away the guns, cars. Like, if my 16 year old,
I don't
want
to be that guy, but you start to get into these, the what ifs become very, well, what if the, you know, okay, yes, if you know your kid is drunk and you know the kid's taking the keys, you don't do anything. What if the kid just takes the keys to your car and mows down 4 people? Were you supposed to stop him from being able to get the keys if he had been drinking in the basement? I mean, you know, it's really just about what is the line of culpability? Because in this instance, Clay, there's nothing like more horrific than a school shooting.
Correct.
So these people, the people despise what these parents, you know, stand for in this instance of this inaction. But this precedent, I don't know. We'll keep taking your calls about it. You know, there's a new movie coming to theaters this week, made to be seen on the big screen. You want to see it on the big screen. Civil War, it's called. A fictional portrayal of our country in real turmoil. Filmmaker Alex Garland is the creator of this epic thriller. If you discovered and binge-watched The Last of Us, this is your kind of movie. The movie portrays a dystopian future and a team of military-embedded journalists racing against time to reach Washington, D.C. before rebel factions descend on the White House. It's getting great advanced reviews from a variety of critics. The Rotten Tomatoes score is now 93%. It's produced and directed by Alex Garland and A24. Buy tickets in advance for this theater experience. You can also go to select IMAX theaters. The movie is Civil War. Look it up. Make plans now to see it in theaters this weekend if you can. I may go check it out myself. Civil War. Get your tickets today.
Welcome back in. Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. We're discussing the parents being sentenced to 10 to 15 years in prison for negligence in the school shooting in Oxford, Michigan. A lot of you reacting, but I want to make sure that I got some of the details out there, because I do think in these cases the facts are very specific. So the 16-year-old testified under oath that his dad bought the gun for him, and that it was not in any way restrained. So he was 16. His dad went and bought a gun, 15 at the time of the killings. So that was going on. He had written in his journal, "First off, I got my gun. Second, the shooting is tomorrow. I have access to the gun and ammo. The first victim has to be a pretty girl with a future so she can suffer like me. Which if you heard some of these victim statements this morning, I mean, just brutal to hear. The kids that were testifying did an amazing job telling the story in these victim impact statements. But he says the gun was not locked up at all. His parents bought it for him. And here's the detail of the day of the shooting that is, I think, very important in terms of that day. That day, Buck, of the shooting, they called the parents to the school because he had been researching bullets online during class the day before and drew a violent picture of guns and blood with the words, "The thoughts won't stop. Help me." The parents came to the meeting at the school, said they would get him counseling, wouldn't take him home from school that day, said he needs to go back to class. They didn't search his backpack. He had the gun there, and he emerged from the bathroom and went on the rampage. So when you talk about the involuntary manslaughter, I think it's reasonable, and I'm saying this as a parent, if you knew that you went and bought a gun for your kid, if they called you to school and said he's researching shootings and he needs psychological help, and you said, "Ah, just put him back into class." Now, I think there's failure from the school not to have searched the backpack. But also, if you were a parent and you had bought your son a gun 4 days earlier and he was saying, "I want to kill lots of people in the school," and researching bullets, I think it is a tremendous failure of the parents that they didn't say, "Let's get this kid out of school right now. Let's get him in counseling and let's make sure he doesn't have access to the gun that I just bought for him 4 days ago." So I do think the specifics here do factor in terms of how negligent was the parent behavior. And for everybody out there, if you have kids, I know you don't yet, Buck, but if I got called in for a meeting and my son was saying that he was thinking about killing people and I just bought him a gun 4 days before, I don't think I would be like, "He's got to go back to class right now." I think I'd be like, "We need to get him mental health treatment right now." That's my personal response. I think the school failed in not searching the backpack. I don't know why they wouldn't have done that. That's the first thing I would have done, search the locker, search the backpack. It sounds like a failure on many different levels. But if a jury heard all those details, I can see why they thought, yeah, the parents are also responsible.
What's the specific charge that they have been found guilty of?
Involuntary manslaughter.
It's involuntary manslaughter.
Which is basically just a negligence standard. And again, the kid was 15, so it's a minor child. I don't think you could bring these charges if the child had grown into adulthood at 18. I think the fact that the child's a minor, the dad bought the gun 4 days before, the school said he's talking about killing people, and you knew he had bought him a gun, and he says the gun wasn't locked up and he had full access to it. That's what he testified. So I think all of these facts do, so many of these cases are very fact determinant. You asked about the Marjorie Stoneman, cop hid for 48 minutes outside while there's a shooting that goes on inside. I'm sorry. I think a lot of people hear that and say, yeah, that's unacceptable.
I think at different times historically in the military, I don't even know. I don't know what the law would be. UCMJ would have been 100 years ago, for this country, but you know, there have been, you could be executed for cowardice in the military, for example.
Yeah.
That was a known thing. That's existed certainly in different militaries. In fact, we'd use the term decimation. It comes from ancient Roman decimatus, which was a process by which, usually for extreme cowardice, a legion would have individuals, I think they'd pull a stone, they'd basically draw straws, but I think it was like a stone out of a pouch, and then people would have to beat, in some cases to death, 1 out of 10 members of their own cohort or their own military unit for cowardice. So that's where, when we talk about decimation, comes from ancient Roman process of policing cowardice or extreme disgrace on the battlefield. Obviously, the Stoneman Douglas cop, I mean, he's a disgrace, but he didn't end up going to prison, as we understand. He was not found,
I think that's right.
Not found guilty. You know, Clay, it's one of these things where this is, at some point, I think the standard just becomes, it almost turns into a reasonable man standard of these parents of this, this school shooter were so negligent and so reckless that, you know, maybe this doesn't turn into, a precedent problem in the future in terms of prosecutions, just because this one is so clear. But that's usually what people say when they're prosecuting the one case that's going to be the exception, you know. But I think like if a bartender serves someone who's visibly drunk, I know they can be civilly held liable for that. Can they be criminally held liable? Like if you keep serving somebody who's completely obliterated and they get in a car and they kill five people, are you able to be criminally held liable?
Great question.
I don't know.
I bet it's happened somewhere, cause it's a form of extreme negligence. To your point, certainly the bar can be sued and often is if they continue to serve someone who appears to be visibly drunk and then they get into a car and then they commit, some sort of, vehicular homicide.
Let's bring some voices. Let's bring some voices into this one. Steve was a high school principal in Missouri, wants to weigh in. Steve, what have you got for us?
Well, I'm calling in regards to what the decision was in court, but nobody seems to be asking the question as to what was the responsibility of the school. Why wasn't their bags searched at the beginning of the day, number one? And then when they met with the parent and the parents refused to take the kid home, why were the police not called to come and remove the young man from the school? That's what we did in the schools I worked in, and I was in schools of 2,500 students.
Yep.
They had 23, 24 gangs in each of those buildings, and those kids, if their parents refused to take them home, I called the police, and the police took them to jail.
I think that's a great, thank you for calling in with that story. When you hear this, I'm sure it's to the pit of your stomach makes you sick because there were so many, this is not a situation where this came out of nowhere, right? Like they legitimately knew the kid wanted to kill people based on his behavior at school and somehow they didn't search his locker and they didn't search his backpack. And so when the parents failed, I think the school failed. And unfortunately, these four kids bore the consequences of that failure. Thank you for the call. I mean, I'm sure the principal has been unable to sleep for months over the way that they responded to this.
We'll take more of your calls here. This is one of those topics where we've got a wide range of perspectives and people really coming down on both sides of whether this is exactly what should have happened in the criminal justice system to the parents. Or if this sets a troubling precedent, we will take some of those calls. 800-282-2882. We come back in just a moment. Between gas, groceries, and everyday living expenses, your monthly household expenses add up really quickly. It's the reason so many people rely on credit cards, which are also, of course, really convenient. But the problem with that is those credit card rates are really high. Those APRs are sky high. But there's something you can do instead of being stuck on that hamster wheel of payments to those credit card companies. Because if you're a homeowner, American Financing can help. With interest rates dropping into the fives again, they're lower than they've been in some time, and certainly much lower than your credit card interest rate. They can be in the 20s, if not as high as 29.99% for credit cards. American Financing is saving customers an average of $854 a month by using the cash in their home to pay off that high interest credit card debt. Free yourself of that credit card debt. American Financing never charges any upfront fees. And if you start today, you may be able to delay two mortgage payments. Call American Financing, 800-777-8109. That's 800-777-8109. Or visit AmericanFinancing.net. That's AmericanFinancing.net. NMLS 182334, NMLSConsumerAccess.org. APR for rates in the five start at 6.799% for well-qualified borrowers. Call 800-777-8109 for details about credit costs and terms.
Keep up with Clay and Buck's campaign coverage with 24, a Sunday highlight reel from the week. Find it on the free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Why are people still on the fence about owning gold and silver? I just don't understand.
Have we already forgotten about regional bank closures, inflation, global instability, and the potential for serious world conflicts?
You can look to precious metals for various reasons. One, having tangible currency on hand as part of your bug out plan. Two, diversifying your portfolio as a hedge against inflation. And three, historically, gold increases in value over time.
You keep yourself informed about global events. You see the increase in conflicts around the globe. Countries are buying and hoarding massive amounts of gold. Why aren't you? It's time to pull the trigger with the Oxford Gold Group and buy gold and silver. Nobody can predict the future, but we can't put our head in the sand either.
The people with Oxford Gold Group are real pros. They make owning gold and silver simple and easy to understand. Call Oxford Gold Group right now, and you may qualify for up to $10,000 in free precious metals.
Call 833-995-GOLD. That's 833-995-GOLD. One more time, 833-995-G-O-L-D.
There is a great evil taking place in our society. Since 1973, over 64 million babies' lives have been taken. Preborn is dedicated to saving these precious lives. And every day, the staff members at Preborn Clinics rescue 200 babies and help women in crisis by sharing light, love, and a free ultrasound.
That changed my life, just from that ultrasound picture.
You see, when an expectant mother meets her precious baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, she is twice as likely to choose life for her baby. Would you join me and Preborn in rescuing babies' lives? One ultrasound is just $28, and for $140, you can sponsor five ultrasounds helping to rescue five babies' lives. To donate securely, use your cell phone and dial pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 saying baby, or go to preborn.com/buck. That's preborn.com/buck. You will never regret saving a baby's life. Visit preborn.com/buck, sponsored by Preborn.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to think, I'm covered, no worries. Well, not so fast. Remember, your out-of-pocket costs are not covered by insurance. That can be a lot of money for your family. But how do you know you're not being overbilled? It's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. Unless you're a billing expert, how do you know your medical bills are accurate? HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance. When your medical claims come in, HealthLock technology reviews the claim for errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. HealthLock makes it easy to find and fix hidden errors, so you pay only what you owe. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. Bottom line, insurance alone isn't enough. To save, visit HealthLock.com. Do it today before you see another healthcare provider. That's HealthLock.com.
Welcome back, team, to Clay and Buck. Just reminding you, next hour, we have Senator Marsha Blackburn joining us. So please stick around for that. Going to have a great conversation with one of our favorite senators here on the show. And also, we are going to talk about the Morgan Wallen incident. We're going to change things up a little bit because I celebrated his whole catalog this morning by listening to some of his tunes.
You have gone from not knowing who Morgan Wallen was to now liking his music and being troubled by him throwing a chair off a sixth floor of a rooftop in an Asheville honky-tonk.
Can neither confirm nor deny, Clay.
Yes.
Perhaps that is the case. Yes, indeed. We'll dive into that coming up in a second, but a lot of calls coming, a lot of VIP emails. Go to clayandbuck.com, become a VIP there. Let us see. Who do we have in the mix? Clay, oh, here we go.
Patricia. I think Patricia, we got Patricia in Texas.
Hello.
Yes.
Hey.
Can you hear me?
Yes, gotcha. Everyone can.
Oh, wonderful. I'm calling because I one of the things that I noted with the school situation is that they actually gave the parents a choice whether to take him home or let him stay. And the school counselor has an obligation to report, and they absolutely should have called not the parents at that point. At that point, they should have called the police. They could have called Yes. And so the parents obviously created the situation. Their punishment and penalty is well-deserved and earned. They created this child and neglected to get him help when he was begging for it. I'm an LPC. I see a lot of this. Parents think it's not that big a deal. And if the school doesn't support that...
What's an LPC?
A licensed practicing counselor, sorry.
Ah,
So if the school, by not insisting that he leave and calling the police, gave the parents, and this is, I mean, again, they deserve everything they get, but that did create the illusion that there was a choice, that it wasn't that bad, right? Because if it was that bad...
I see what you're saying, that the school kind of created a cascading effect of bad decisions by even allowing there to be any decision by the parents on this matter. Is that...
Exactly, because the parents failed. They knew it. They had a history of failing.
Sorry to cut you off, Patricia. You're raising really interesting questions. One thing that I would say, I don't believe the parents told the school that they had bought the kid a gun 4 days before. So, but what I would say, thank you for calling, everybody out there who is listening to us right now, and I know a lot, my wife is a school guidance counselor, licensed as well, in addition to being, she worked as a school guidance counselor, public schools in the Nashville area. I would just say, if you're listening to us right now and you work in a school, and a lot of you do, why would you not call the police and err on the side of caution if you have a kid who you believe is threatening violence against other kids at school?
Why wouldn't someone in the school do it?
Yeah, I mean, I would like the parent to like to have done their job, but wouldn't you rather err on the side of caution if you work in the school as opposed to not taking it seriously enough? And again, I come back to this parent. If you bought a gun for your kids 4 days before,
how old was the kid?
15. Oof. And yeah, and you got brought into a school, and they said your kid is talking about shooting up the school and doing research on how to do it.
Can I also, I mean,
that's a big failure.
I mean, I remember I was given a .22 caliber rifle for, I think it was my 13th birthday. It stayed in the gun safe with my dad's other rifles that he was in charge of that we only opened together when we went to the range, right?
Yeah.
This notion of the 15-year-old having, it was my dad's gun. I just got to shoot it, right? I mean, basically, it was just like an idea that it was his firearm.
The idea was when you become an adult, you might get it. It may be bought for you in the future, but you don't have it underneath your bed with access.
Correct. It wasn't like I kept it with my, you know, T-Rex toys or something under my bed. My dad had full control of it in his safe at all times. There was no if and I didn't actually have access to the safe, obviously. So it was, you know, just kind of like a nice idea for me. Giving the 50 was, I assume it was a handgun, right? Or was it an AR? What did he give?
I will give you, you will know better than me the specific, gun that he had.
I'm sorry. I remember this. I know I should remember that. I mean, I should know this, but you know, the case was a while ago, so I've forgotten some of these details. I think it was a rifle.
Sig Sauer SP 2022 9mm.
So he had a pistol.
I think that's right. Yeah.
It's a pistol. So, anyway, back to,
It fit in the backpack. But again, circling back to, if you knew you bought your son a handgun that would fit in a backpack.
These parents were clearly reckless. It's just, you know, the recklessness getting 10 to 15 years is what's getting people, I think, interested in this component of the case. Jason in Michigan, want to get you in. You're a juvenile probation officer. So you have some insights here. What have you got for us?
Well, input that I just wanted to offer, I was just kind of shocked that the school did not contact law enforcement. I know you guys have been talking about that, but just the idea that he had, you know, drawn these pictures, made these threats, would have been justified in at least detaining him, if not charging him with an MCL code that already exists called making terrorist threats.
Yeah.
And I've actually dealt with a number of juveniles that have been charged with that. And I don't know, you know, all the details necessarily, with that school and whether or not they have a school liaison officer on staff, but clearly you know, I'm in total agreement that the parents are responsible, but I also feel, you know, the school certainly did have a responsibility on contacting law enforcement as well, which, you know, I think we're all in agreement on, but I'm just shocked that this kid wasn't charged. And it's a very serious charge. It's a 20-year felony, if I'm not mistaken.
Thank you for the call and the work you're doing. Look, I think our biggest takeaway here as we finish up this hour is if you're in a school and a kid is threatening to shoot up the school, treat it more seriously than you could as opposed to less seriously than you could.
I think what's almost the worst case scenario? Every school, Clay, would. I think this school is the exception to that with terrible consequences.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores. The
stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on,
but we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.